Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Auntie Angel, and that's all I'm going to say for right now because I'm going to let you talk about the rest. And you may well know her from a lot of things that she does, and let's get to that. And asking you what you'd like to talk about most, that smile on your face, I knew it meant. Let's just talk about all of you.
Yes.
So start wherever you like.
Okay.
And go.
And then we'll go forward from
yes.
there. Well, my name is Auntie Angel. That is my stage name for everybody that knows me mm-hmm. so well. I was born in San Diego, California in 1969. I don't mind sharing my age in Hollywood. It's so crazy because so many people are afraid of sharing their age.
Oh, yes. I hear that. Women in particular.
Yes. And I'm like, you know what? I worked really hard to get to this age and still look like this.
Oh, I was just going to say, see, this is why I need a television moment, although you can all find Auntie on her website.
Yes.
And see what she looks like.
AuntieAngel.com. So, mm-hmm. Or you can even Google me and you can find some
of course.
Funny, fun pictures.
Yes.
Talk about funny, fun pictures. I was on a show called Push Girls, which everybody knows about.
Oh, yes, of course. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Push Girls was basically started in the living room of Angela Rockwood.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I met Angela when she was, it was her first couple of weeks of her car accident.
Oh, you met her that soon?
Yes.
How?
I met her in the hospital when she
because
was...
Because you were there too?
No, she transferred over to Rancho Los Amigos for rehab.
Uh-huh.
To be rehabbed, to learn how to become independent in a wheelchair. And I would go back, because by then I was, I believe, 10 years post. And I would go back to hospitals to speak to newly injured patients.
Okay, so I don't. When you say 10 years post, I don't know, and maybe other people don't either. 10
oh,
years
sure.
post what?
Car accident.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that left me paralyzed from the waist down from a spinal cord injury.
Okay.
So I met Angela there, and then we became really good friends. I mean, best friends.
So you would go back to the hospital to encourage others?
That life still goes on beyond the walls of the hospital.
Okay.
Because when you're there, you're thinking, oh my gosh, is this going to be my life? My life is over. This is crazy. How am I going to adapt? And then once you get out into the real world, you're like, you know what? This isn't so bad. I can still live. I can still rock my lifestyle as
I
please.
And look like this.
Thank you. As I please.
Yeah.
So I would go back to the hospital and talk to newly injured patients, which mm-hmm. Angela happened to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We became really close best friends that was more like sisters. One day she said, Auntie, you know, I've been wanting to start a group of women. We'll start with a group of women in chairs because we all have a common denominator, which is the wheelchair. That's just our common denominator. Mm-hmm. That we could show other women how to overcome obstacles, whether it's breast cancer.
Any obstacle.
Any.
Yes.
You know, a divorce,
yes.
losing a loved one. And I said, that's a fabulous idea. I'm on board because that's what I'm all about. So it was like universe and God brought like-minded and like-spirited individuals together to make this happen. And with that being said, we eventually met Mia and then we eventually met Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
So one day the producers approached Angela and wanted to do a show based on her and her husband at the time, who was Dustin Nguyen, who was on 21 Jump Street, the
original.
Now, the
producer approached her because she had been acting before this accident, so she was known.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
And because of her husband as well, and they had a unique and awesome relationship. However, at the time, they were going through a separation because just that it wasn't that they grew apart. It was more Dustin wanted to go to Vietnam to pursue his career
uh-huh.
out there. There wasn't much out here, you know, except for stereotype stuff
mm-hmm.
that he could do. So he wanted to go out there. Long story short, they were going through separation and Dustin said, I don't want to focus on a relationship. Let's focus on what she wants to do. She says, I want you to meet my girls. I want you to meet my angels,
uh-huh.
which was me, Tiffany, and Mia.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, long story short, producers said, hey, let's put you girls together. We love mm-hmm. your individual stories. It's
mm-hmm.
colorful. You guys are all from different nationalities, all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And Push Girls
mm-hmm.
was born there. And we did a 2-season run. It was fabulous. There were some obstacles within the show just because of, you know, trying to share your own real life mm-hmm. in front of cameras mm-hmm. that it was kind of difficult. Once you close the doors and let the cameras go home, you still had to live the life.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And what you shared. Mm-hmm. So one of the obstacles was my husband and I. We went to marriage counseling on camera. Mm-hmm. Now, for married couples out there who are, you know, scared of even going to marriage counseling, period, it's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. And then to do it on camera for the world to see, extra scary.
Because you're doing it authentically and with...
Yes. No, uh-huh. With no filters.
Yes.
There's no filter.
Was it helpful to you?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
It was. Therapy gave us some tools that were much needed. Mm-hmm. It definitely helped our marriage. And it was a struggle in the beginning, as I'm sure it is with any couple, but also with the cameras there. And because we really were like hesitant to share certain things, but I told him, I said, you know what? And we both agreed. We are going to be able to help other couples
yes,
out there.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. Because after the show aired with us going to marriage counseling, mm-hmm. we had so many people come up to us afterwards and say, wow.
Oh, how satisfying.
We yes. thought we were the only ones. Especially yes. oh. individuals that happen to have an individual who has a disability or different ability, like I like to call it. Uh-huh. And an able-bodied partner.
Yeah.
So... it was definitely eye-opening.
Well, so that's one thing, but also that you're a choreographer?
Yes.
And an entertainer. I mean, so you've got your own strength of what you need to do in this life.
Yes.
Also, I mean, even without any physical differences.
Correct.
That's significant
Thank
in a
you.
Marriage.
Yes. Oh, yes.
mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes.
And within our marriage, I'm the diva. I'm the extrovert. My husband's the introvert. Mm-hmm. And... I can be really out there. I've learned to calm it and tone it down so that we can compromise and make it work.
Oh, with each other.
With each other.
But also, you're a very emotionally generous, forthright person. So from the couple times I've talked to you,
Thank
I could
you.
Tell that loud and clear that doing this on camera is not such a stretch. I mean, your desire to present life honestly.
Yes.
And your authenticity.
Yes.
Would make it possible for you to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I knew ever since I was a little girl that I was going to do something amazing.
Oh, and tell me about that. When did you first know something?
Well, I had a lot of abuse in my household. And
that you witnessed or towards you? Or
towards me uh-huh. and my mother mm-hmm. When I was a younger girl. From the age of 1 to 5, mm-hmm. it was really...
frightening.
It was frightening and quite devastating because my father was only 16 when he got together with my mother. So
yeah.
he had a lot of anger management issues that he didn't know. Nobody taught him how to deal with. So he took it out on my mother and I. And then when I was 5 years old, my sister was born. Mm-hmm. And then she felt the blunt of it, you know, as we mm-hmm. grew up together. But I got a lot of more of the brunt of it. And so at a very early age, learning and teaching myself how to overcome that fear, that obstacle, that pain.
How do you do that? How do you teach yourself to overcome? And no, I guess, in that teaching means that you learn somehow that it's not your fault and it's not directed at you personally.
Well, when you're at that age, you do think it's your fault.
I know. So how do you come over? How do you get over past that?
Well, as I got older, my grandmother introduced me to Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And so that was, she believed in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a faith-based foundation. So as I grew older, I still follow the beliefs of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't neglect all of the other beliefs that are out there and embrace anybody of different beliefs.
So she gave you a strength.
Yes. Also, I am born to a biological, what do I want to say here? Biracial parents.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to see their struggles mm-hmm. and how they overcame taught me how to go overcome and then also embrace everybody from all different walks of life. Because here I had a Mexican Peruvian father and an English German mother. So white and brown, and back in the 19...
And culturally really 60s. Different too.
Yes, very right. different. Not only that, but, you know, in the 1960s, it was difficult. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were actually prejudiced of my father at first mm-hmm. until I was born. And then they were like, whoa, she's adorable.
Yes, of course.
Please forgive us for even putting that stigma.
Because look what you gave us.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And so.
I think that's not uncommon.
That gave me some tools to learn how to overcome certain obstacles.
Yes.
And then having my faith-based foundation, it gave me a sense of power.
I was just going to use that word because I could see that in your face. Yes.
Yes. And authority.
Mm-hmm.
Authority over negativity. Yes.
What you talked about that you knew you were going to do something significant. I mean, you didn't use that word, but I'm saying.
Yes.
And I didn't know if you meant creatively or spiritually or emotionally or altogether.
All of the above.
When did you first know that you could be a dancer and a choreographer and a singer, and talk about your, if you would, your professional life?
Sure.
I'd be interested.
Sure, sure. Well, my grandfather on my mother's side gave me a tape recorder when I was a little girl, and I would record my voice. And when I heard it back, I liked the sound of it.
Oh, that's wonderful, because most people hear their voices and say, I don't like my voice.
Yeah, I was intrigued, and I would tell stories. I would tell stories, and then I would also sing. So I became not only just a singer, mm-hmm. I also became a storyteller. And so that helped me with writing, producing, acting. And right now, I have all of these talents under yes. my belt, you know, a notch in my belt for every talent that I have.
What was the first actual in your creative life job that you had?
Job
and
or just
paid or not, doesn't matter. But the first, like, productive thing that you remember doing, like your first piece of work
That really sticks to my mind would be when I went for a Miss Lamita pageant and I had to choreograph a dance number for it.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I've done many things before that as mm-hmm. well, because my father took martial arts, so I also studied in martial arts. I have so many talents, people have no idea.
So that's, okay, well, that's why I'm glad we're doing this. But that martial arts, so you can have a little faith in your physical toughness also.
Yes, but what's crazy, though, is when I was a little girl, you know, enduring this abuse, so I had that fear, but also had that power. So it was like, I didn't know how to use it or apply it. Mm-hmm. There's the word I really want to use is I didn't know how to apply these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I actually left home at the age of 18 that I was free to apply.
And you just on your own left home at 18 and
I did.
Went where?
I looked for a roommate, found a roommate, and moved in with a roommate at the age of 18. I told my parents, October 15th, I turned 18. November 1st, I was out. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was done with all of the
good for you.
Negativity that was going on in the household. I was mm-hmm. And it wasn't all negative.
Right.
You know, we all have negative and positive,
mm-hmm.
but we tend to remember the negative.
The negative has a power that stays. And I often wonder that too. Like, why is the negative speak sometimes more loudly than the positive?
More volume.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it because it penetrates more.
Because pain is more, yes, you notice that faster than you notice joy.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy because it's, you know, it should be the opposite.
Well, it should be. And if you're in a safe place in life, it is.
Yes.
But
which is now.
Right. But if you're threatened.
Yes.
Oh, I think the creature is smart enough to know that the pain is a actual life-threatening. Maybe that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So after you choreographed this dance.
Well, after I moved out,
mm-hmm.
I actually started auditioning. And I met a friend actually at a club.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into any of the other stuff because that's another story.
Okay. Well, you can come back and do that one if you want another time.
Okay. I went to a club and met a girl. Her name is JJ. And she was like, oh my gosh, I love the way you dance. Would you go to an audition with me tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. We went to an audition.
Fearless, you are.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, definitely fearless. That's one of my, people can describe me as fearless. Mm-hmm. Fearless, bold, some say bossy, but some mistake my bossiness for confidence.
Oh, well, I don't know that that's a mistake, because I think sometimes when people are bossy, mm-hmm. it's their way of saying, I know what's going to work, and this will take the responsibility off your shoulders. Just do what I say.
Mm.
But go ahead.
I like the way you put that. Yeah, I wish other people would recognize it. And I, you know, I also had
sometimes
to...
Sometimes that's what it is.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. But and I do it all out of love. People just don't know it. And I think, too, is because of my father's dominance. I kind of carry that dominance with me and perfection. Ended up being fearless and went to this audition and ended up on tour for 3 months.
Wow.
With a major record labeled... rap group named NWA, and they happen to have a film coming out this year, which is 2015. And what's crazy, I don't mean to like bounce all over the board. I recently recorded a song called Party of the Year, mm-hmm. and I'm releasing it this summer.
Oh, so brand new.
Brand new. That I was looking, and my husband and I, we did a performance, and I wanted to debut that song and wanted to incorporate other dancers, but able-bodied dancers with us. And so I looked and reached out to my dance community, which I know hundreds of dancers. And it was crazy because everybody was like, my schedule is so busy. It's so busy. I'm sorry. And already, oh, I already have that date booked. Oh, I have to work, whatever, you know, had taken place. And then finally I had a friend that suggested a couple. She's like, I can suggest them, but I don't know if they'll be available. So I reached out to them and they were like, yes, we could. We can do it. And I was like, awesome. So I go to pick them up from the train because I didn't have a car at the time. And they get in the car and I said, look, I just want to let you know that I am professional because we didn't know each other. So I want to let you know I am professional. They're able-bodied. So mm-hmm. I didn't know if they might have some, not issues, but hesitation working with somebody with a different ability. And I said, I am a professional. I used to dance with NWA. I used to dance with so-and-so. And the girl turns to me and she's like, oh. She said, I danced as a background dancer in the NWA movie. I said, well.
Oh, the one coming out.
Yes. And I said, well, what nationality was the other dancer? She said, African-American. I said, oh, my God, you played me.
No.
Yes. Out of all the dancers in my dance community that I know. And somebody got referred to me, ends up being the one who played me in the film and is going to background dance for me.
A nice sign.
It was. It was amazing. I have all those amazing, cool, like Oprah likes to say, aha moments.
So after that.
Talking about Oprah, I'm the next Oprah, by the way.
You what?
I'm the next Oprah.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad I know you. Okay. Talk about what happened after that.
So... after that, we performed and we did the song and it was a smash hit.
Oh,
it was amazing.
So nice.
Yes. Everybody loved it. It was visually stimulating for everybody because they got to see, you know, a person in a wheelchair dancing with two able-bodied dancers.
Well, I saw that on your website. I saw it. I found a video of it.
Oh, awesome.
And it's to say visually stimulating is an understatement.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
It is such a gripping world.
Mm.
And by the way, it is a world filled with motion.
Thank you.
Just thick with it. It's
yes.
Wonderful.
What I love to tell everybody out there too, who might be listening that's not or has never encountered somebody with a different ability.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain different ability just briefly.
Yes.
Disabled, first of all, handicap comes from a derogatory word. It becomes from people with disabilities out on the streets. Begging with cap in hand.
I never even realized that.
Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Absolutely. So that's a little bit of education out there for you.
Yeah, it's a huge bit. Yes. Okay.
So cap in hand,
yes,
handicap.
Yes, yes.
That's where that word comes from.
Never knew that.
So they went from handicap to disabled.
I remember when that happened.
And that's now another kind of negative stereotype just because disabled means not able.
I know. That one I never understood.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends and know a lot of people who are they talk about my disability, and I'm listening to these people, pardon me, who are gorgeous and have these fabulous careers, and they're getting movie contracts, and they are getting jobs that most people would just drop dead to have. And I'm saying, like, what disability?
Right.
You're living a
fairly we're able full, to do so many things. Sometimes even more than the able-bodied person.
For sure. So why even mention it, by the way?
Right. I don't know.
Oh, okay. But, I thought maybe you'd be able to,
Yeah, I don't know. But so disabled meaning not able. That's why I say different ability or differently able, just because we just happen to do things a little different.
Yeah.
We're able to do so many things, but just a little different.
Well, that has a definitely nicer sound to it.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right.
Anyway, so where was I going with that?
Oh, you were saying, well, you were saying about not being sure that they could be able to dance with somebody who's differently abled or however
Correct.
You said it. And, but why? I mean, you had experience as a choreographer. You know what you're doing.
Well, I know I could do it. But, you know, so many people out there would approach me and say, oh, my gosh, you're a dancer. How do you dance? They would even just look at me like that and then just imagine me, well, how do you dance with other dancers? I don't get it. So... for me
so that puts you in a position of having to teach people. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, I love being a teacher.
Okay. So that's a nice quality of yours, that you don't mind people coming to you with these strange conceptions and then being able to show them the truth.
I think that's one of the reasons why I'm still left here.
Okay.
Yes.
Good enough.
And the reason why I say that is because in my car accident, which was life-threatening, I actually experienced life after death, where...
How did you know that?
Well, when I had my car accident, I hit the center divider head on, snapped my back in half, severed my spinal cord, was in the middle lane facing traffic on the freeway, and looked like God and angels, whatever you want to call it, was blocking my car from getting hit again. But my upper body was laying on my lap, so I had a lot of internal bleeding, couldn't breathe, so I felt like I lost the battle. I blacked out. I felt these strong hands grab my shoulders.
Well, so you were aware of all this?
Yes. Grabbed my shoulders, yanked me up out of my body, and I was looking at my lifeless body. And I said I didn't get to say goodbye.
So you had to come back.
Yes. And when I came back, I heard the paramedics say, welcome back.
Oh, my.
So, yes. So that's why I believe that I'm still here. Is to teach.
I can understand that.
You need a witness to witness the miracle that is about to manifest or whatever, because there's a miracle in everything, even in the loss of something.
Yes. And on that subject of a miracle in everything, if you were, let me just ask you, because you know how much about love letters I am and what they do for permanence.
Yes.
Who would you be writing a love letter to right now?
My mother.
To tell her...
thank you, and that I love her, and I miss her. I lost my mother a year after my car accident to liver cancer, which started from breast cancer. So I am very proactive with breast
for you. Oh, that's
cancer
nice.
Awareness. And
would you, you can write a letter to her, and I hope you do, and
yes.
Where will you mail it?
To myself.
Good, yes. I was hoping that's what you would say. And to thank her for specifics.
Ooh.
Because that's, you know, don't you think that's what makes everything perfect?
And you taught me this in our you did a workshop not long ago.
Yes, which is where we first met.
Yes, which I thank you so much because I didn't realize how specific a love letter can be. Or just a letter, period.
Well, most letters, if they're your truth and memories put to paper with compassion and love, it is a love letter.
Yes.
It's not a romantic thing necessarily. I mean, those are luscious, but most of them are not.
You're absolutely
right.
And
so if when you're saying to her the specific things that you loved about her, maybe even the strength that it took to live through what she lived through and whatever it is she gave you, either genetically or by example, or even sometimes by negative example. You know, I learned from you because I watched you suffer in this way that that was not going to be what I lived.
Right.
There's so many ways to say thank you.
Well, you hit the, the nail on the head.
Good. You know, that's often so true. And then you mail it to yourself every time you need a reminder.
Yes.
Of how you got to be, in large measure, who you are. You get to do that thanking and bathe in the positive.
Yes. I'm like almost having a out-of-body experience right now just speaking with you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is amazing.
And you have so much to be grateful for.
Oh, so much. Uh-huh. So much. So many miracles that I could... We need like a two-hour show just to talk about them all.
You know what? Let's do it again. Let's talk about, now that we know something about you,
yes,
let's just sit and talk about miracles someday. I would love that.
Yes, that would be fun.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know we're not done because I know you have a great deal more to say, and we have just barely scratched the surface.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So until next time, and again, you can have the joy of seeing this woman's work if you go to her website or Google her, like, you know, everyone. You'll find lessons in that are just wonderful. And can we just talk about your chair for a minute, because it's got these dollar signs on it?
Yes.
Tell about that really quickly.
Okay. Well, really,
because it's such a chic follow me kind of thing.
Yes, I'm sponsored by Colors Wheelchairs, and I'm not biased by no means, but I believe that they are the best wheelchairs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Quality and the company. The mm-hmm. company started with a gentleman who happened to be in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's people at the facility who work there that are in wheelchairs. So they know their stuff.
I mean, this is actually beautiful looking and kind of part of the whole picture.
What Colors does is they cater to your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be fancy.
Yes, you do. yeah.
And I like the little bling. I remember going to John Box at the time, who was the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, John, I'm dancing with all these rap artists. I need an awesome, you know, eye-catching wheelchair. And the next time I saw him, he surprised me with these rims and our dollar signs. And actually, it's a set. I don't have the other piece with it, but it's a set where they're spinners.
Mm-hmm.
And then the inside would spin would be cents. It would be dollars and cents.
Oh, wow. That's very clever. And also, it's like part of, it's like just part of your chic.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's an accessory.
It's an accessory. Thank you. That's the right
word. It's like a pair of shoes.
It's an accessory, and it just is one that just won't let you ever look dowdy.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's so cool.
And you know what's so cool? One last thing before we go is talking about teaching. I love working with kids. And recently I was working with some able-bodied kids, and I put them in wheelchairs so that they could see what it's mm-hmm. like to live the life of a person with a different ability
mm-hmm.
and to gain a new perspective on life. And I told them to name their wheelchairs. And they all were like, oh, pink bubblegum or sky blue. And the next time I came into class, they said, oh, Miss Angel. They call me Miss Angel. Miss Angel, Miss Angel, we want to tell you what we're going to name your chair. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, we're going to call it the Moneymaker.
Oh, so a positive, powerful thing in this world. Not to be left out of any possibility.
Right,
yes.
Absolutely.
And independence that making money brings you, earning a living. And
yes.
Wonderful. Thank you, honey. Okay, I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about miracles.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Janet Gallen for now saying goodbye, and just to remind you that every one of life's moments and every miracle is a reason to write a love letter to someone, to just share a moment. And you don't need to wait for a special occasion, because every one of those is a special occasion. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Oh, you're giving me background music. Thank you. Mwah. Goodbye. Mwah.